Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Power Play Point podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point talking at you live from the digs at downtown Glenburnie, Maryland. Good Friday to you. And I'm keeping up the happy peppy DJ voice. Hope it doesn't sound too fake because there ain't much happy or peppy going on right now. Well, actually there is, but it comes out of a Mai Tai bottle. We're doing this impromptu session here, of course, to catch everybody up on the first four. Well, not catch everybody up. Everybody knows what's going on. I think everybody could use a little entertaining, a little cheering up, also a stark realization, reassessment of what's going on here. In other words, basic Caps hockey talk. Two people who like to watch games that happen on an NHL rink, and it drives them to drink. But without further ado, let me introduce, as always, my beautiful, as she describes herself, sexy co-host.
I've never said that.
I can't. Well, I'm not allowed to call you sexy.
Okay, that's fine.
That's harassment.
I think we're beyond that. I have never said that about myself.
You've posted that about yourself.
When?
A few times.
I have never posted that. No, that's not my style.
Well, when I forget to mention you at certain times. You're like ahem, and the sexy co-host.
Please, kid. I kid. Come on.
You kid about like,
that was so. That was so last season. Come on.
Okay.
Now.
All good. All right. Well.
So yes, I'm here.
Yes. She is here. That is the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox. In case you didn't know, but you better know.
And as feisty promised, today, huh? Go.
Yeah, well, you would too if you saw that game, and I know you saw that game, so I know you are too.
Yeah, I'm just. Yeah. I don't know. I think this is going to be good because I think we're both going to come with very valid and professional points.
We're gonna bring it.
And
that's for sure.
Yeah, I think this will be a good one. All right, yeah. I got my drink. You have your drink, and cheers to you. And let's go.
Yeah. So as promised, as I mentioned last episode, yes, it is Good Friday. Yes, I have the day off from that horrible job I have. Speaking of whining people. I am sipping Mai Tais, except there's no front porch because we're in for some soggy weather right now. And so I fired my architect, Al Fresco. So, yes.
No.
Yes. See, we're starting already. We're at each other's throats, but that's for later.
All right. All right.
Yeah, God's not going to help anybody this time. okay. So, all right. Well, let's just go ahead and get to it. Y'all saw what happened last night, especially. We'll have a brief comment on recent events. Right now I would say the social media scene is heating up, but I would warn you guys, don't allow yourselves to be baited by the know-nothing types, especially the Canes fans that have probably followed the team for all of about a minute. Quick impression. Live conversation with a Canes fan. How they normally have been reacting last few days. We got y'all tied in a knot, okay? I don't like how do you play dirty, okay? Don't like how what you did to Savage, that young Russian kid boy, okay?
Wow. It's a good thing I'm not from North Carolina. I may take offense to that. You got a little
that
like...
That was the idea.
Right. You got a little South Park / Bill Clinton going on there.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm over the Ovechkin fight. Not going to talk about it. I totally supported it. He knocked the kid out. I don't give a shit. That's whatever. I would like to talk about the fact that we're going into a tied series tomorrow night at home.
Yes. And so as the NBCSN DC gents, that being Messrs. Carlin and May, so astutely observed after the last night's result, it is now a best of three. So we're going to go into a bit of a preview for Game 5. And the big news, as was announced earlier this morning, the Washington Capitals, in their infinite wisdom, have decided to call up one number 25, Devontae Smith-Pelly, to the main roster.
Great call.
Now, some would have to wonder, does this mean he's going to, you and I were discussing this briefly before we came on, does this mean he's immediately going to get into the lineup? I think they would be foolish if they did not.
Agreed.
The question is, where do you put him, though?
Right. Well, and I was looking at a couple of interviews today, because like I said before, it was an optional skate, so no one was able to kind of get a preview of the lines for tomorrow. That's a good question on who he paired best with last season, and does that need to be taken into consideration now, going into this season or going into this playoff game tomorrow night? I don't know. I feel like Jacob Brana had brought up a really good point in the locker room, because I only wish I was there, but I had to read it because they won't allow me in the locker room. When he said that, you know, DSP was with them the entire season last year and into the playoffs and got the Stanley Cup, he knows the team. And so he brings something to the team that, you know, I'm not going to say they're lacking right now because, you know, he's because of what happened with Oshie, but he brings something to the locker room, something, you know, a familiar face kind of thing that I think he's going to fall right back into place. I don't know, to be honest, what the best line would be for him now, because he hasn't had, there's a couple of players he hasn't played with since he's been to Hershey. So I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, no, I don't quite know where he fits. It's already been thrown out there that they ought to automatically slot him onto the fourth line.
Take out Boyd.
Yeah, elevate. Yeah. Have Boyd sit. Elevate all the other wingers and then slot DSP into the wing side on that fourth line with let's see, it's Stevenson on one side and who's centering that? Not Eller. Maybe Boyd is centering that line.
It could be.
Yeah, I can't for the life of me remember the recent line combinations. I'll see if I can find it. But while I am, I think that would be an ideal starting point. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, as the game goes on, he can certainly be slotted anywhere else as an adjustment during the game. So I just found a recent tweet from Isabel Kershutian. This isn't gospel. This is not gospel. This is not the word from the mount. Sorry, I'm trying to do an imitation of my cousin,
right,
failing miserably.
You're 0 for 2 on those right now.
Yeah. I've hit the high points. but she has, and this is admittedly, as she says, a guess. Top line: Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Wilson. Hagelin, Backstrom, Vrana were number two. Some would say they've performed like number two, except for Backstrom. Burakovsky, Eller, Conley on the third line, and okay, so that's the center, Nick Dowd. Yeah, easy to forget.
Oh, there you go. I don't think right.
He hasn't had a good series either, in my estimation. So she's supposing that as so the fourth line, Boyd and or Stevenson, Dowd and DSP for that line.
I would think it's going to be Stevenson.
I would think, yeah. I haven't been enchanted with either Boyd or Stevenson's play, but I do know this. Stevenson and DSP have an unbeatable chemistry.
Absolutely.
I think, based on last year all the way up to the time he got sent down. So I think that will elevate Stevenson's play a little bit, get him more involved, get his speed more involved. So, yes, I agree there. You make him an accessory on that line with him, and that'll get them both going again, because that line was killer. That line was key in last year's playoffs. And they're supposed to be an energy line, and I haven't seen much in the way of energy from the bottom two lines. So, yeah, I would say start them there.
Yeah, not like the end of the season. There was a lot of consistency in that Burakovsky, Eller, Connolly line going on that we saw a really that surge with Burakovsky, and now we're back in that freaking ebb and flow.
Please don't say surge.
Okay, sorry.
Unless you're talking about the drink.
I'm not, but okay. But there was, you know, like he was doing okay, and then now we're back to not so much. I do, however, question the Wilson Ovechkin Kuzi line, just because I'm not seeing great hockey from Kuzi, and I'm wondering if Backstrom would be better there, or do they want to keep Backstrom in the second line as the strongest force and better chemistry on the second line.
I guess I don't know.
There's a side of me that kind of hates when people are like, well, it worked last year and it did this, like, you know, Stevenson and DSP. I can see it. Yes, it worked. And in this kind of situation, you kind of have to say, all right, well, he's been in Hershey for however long and since the trade deadline, and they haven't been together, but that should just, you know, pick up. It's the playoffs, and they're going to ride off of that adrenaline and chemistry they've always had. But then when we talk about lines of, oh, it's time to get the Wilson Ovechkin Kuzi line back, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Kuzi's quite earned that, but is this bumping him up going to do something magical? I don't know.
I don't know. But I do know this much. They have to get the power play going again, even though Ovechkin got one last night.
Right.
And I think Kuznetsov is a focal point of that. I don't know what it is with him. I'm not saying he's the cure-all, he's the answer, but I don't know what it is, but he seems way too soft lately, way too tentative with his passes. I don't know what's happened, but it's like night and day. You know, the Kuznetsov that showed up in spurts this season and all the way through last year's playoffs is gone. I don't know what happened to him, but I think they need him to come back and fast.
Right.
They want a chance here.
Are they risking a lot by not putting Backstrom in the top line because he's played so well, better than Kuzi?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I guess you kind of spread the wealth when it comes to the top two lines.
Yeah, there is that, but here's my thought on it. You give Backstrom second line minutes, and then it gives the Caps flexibility to give Carolina more looks that way. Also, if you give him second line minutes as opposed to first, then he's more rested when the power play goes out. Now, to that point, I wanna air a concern, a long standing concern put out by one Mr. Bernie Deal. And I think it's high time this got aired and talked about. Have you noticed that when the power play goes out, they pretty much stay out for the entire 2 minutes?
Yes.
That shit's got to stop now. They need two full five-man units, or maybe platoon a few guys. I don't know.
Right.
But you can't have the same five guys out there the whole two freaking minutes. You just can't do it anymore. You know? And the key, I've always said this, the key to a good penalty kill is
fresh legs.
Fresh legs and outspeeding the opposition, skating your legs off to cover the extra space not given by that's not there. What the hell am I trying to say? That's the
I don't know.
Player, you lose that space with the extra player being gone. So
yeah,
you got to cover more space. So, I mean, and if the PK that you're facing is faster than you are, than your power play,
right?
Because your legs aren't fresh, you ain't gonna get it done. Sorry.
True. I know. I agree.
So that's in our disjointed preview here. That's key number one. Power play has to get going again because it's just not happening. And the overall puck movement. This is one of your pet peeves. So many missed passes. So many missed assignments. My God.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know if they know what they're trying to do when they gain the neutral zone. It's like when they cross their own blue line, they just lose it.
Right. And yeah, I had a whole lot.
Somebody needs to get a clue.
I had a whole lot of what the fuck moments last night and the shutout on Tuesday. With just the simple fact of just shoot it. Fucking A, just shoot it.
Yes.
God. I mean, like to the point where like, you know, my neighbors are like, oh, the Caps must be playing. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Yes, they are. But I'm like, you know, because the window's open, the weather's awesome. But yeah, it's just like, come the fuck on. Like, I don't understand how you get into a situation. Some of them are freezing. Some of them are going, you know, behind and then trying to do all that. And there we go with that stupid, fancy, you know, trying to do something, trying too hard. Just get back to the basics. Get
exactly
back to the
right.
basics. That's
exactly
it. That's
right.
What this team needs. They need to get out of the, you know, the playoffs. Okay, well, if anything, when you're in a sport and you make the playoffs, you should be going off of adrenaline, but not making reckless, stupid plays, passes, and penalties. And, you know, I said from the beginning that Carolina was going to be a team that was good for us to start off with because it wasn't the Penguins. We weren't having the same old song and dance from before. But they're giving us a hell of a run because they have stepped up their physical game. They have stepped up their skill, the speed. But I still feel like we got it. I really, really do.
Definitely. And I look, I don't know about your neighbors, but I happen to like a woman who shoots her mouth off a lot.
That's why we're friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, that the people who are walking by with their dog are like, oh my God, the mouth. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like, no, I would never say that. But like, but they're my neighbors across the street do laugh. They're taking out their trash cans or getting their mail and they're like, hey Anna, go Caps. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. You know, my response kind of depends on where we're at in the game, what the score is, because sometimes I'm like, woo, let's go. You know, drinks are pouring. Or I'm like getting in, you know, couch coach mode and wanting to be like, all right, you know, Reid Cashman, here's what you need to do and da 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 da. So Reid Cashman. Yes. I know.
Okay. Well, all right. So far, those are our two main points. What to look for in game five, improved power play and better overall puck movement.
Just thirdly, I'm going to say better fucking face off. because here we were last night, there was no reason in 17 seconds for them to score, but other teams are watching the Capitals game and noticing they're not winning the faceoff. We miss you, Jay Beagle. And the other team's getting it and shooting it right away because our D-men are not there. Holpe's not ready. They're like, you know, catch him off guard, 17 seconds. This is not the first time we've had to see this. And it needs to stop. It just, that lost the whole, you don't want to say the whole momentum changed because it was only 17 seconds. But you know what? It was the biggest what the fuck moment for the Capitals where they should have stepped it up being like, oh, crap, this team's no joke. Let's go. So that would be my third thing to add to our grievance list, I guess.
True. And I'll go along with that. And so my final point, I would say, would be you kind of mentioned this before, but ramp up the physical game. I don't think, look, I remember, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember what you said about the size of a team like Winnipeg. Oh, right. I look up and down the Canes roster.
Right.
I don't see anybody all that bloody intimidating. That's why they have to resort to dirty plays. All right. Because sure. they know they are at a distinct advantage or disadvantage rather, as far as size and the physical game. So that's definitely where they have an edge. So definitely ramp that up. And I would say on top of that, okay, take your cue from how the refs call the game. If it's ticky-tack stuff, because they have to know, based on last night's events, that things are going to be, I don't know, more tense than, say, somebody after 30 cups of coffee. I don't know. More tense than somebody who just got out of sex therapy. I don't know. Something like that. Go with me here.
I can't go with you on that one. But if you're speaking from personal experience and it was tense, then I'll say, yes, that was a great example.
No comment.
All right.
Anyway. So
tense is one way to put it.
Right. More tense than a timing belt on an old car, I guess. I don't know. But the point being, the refs that are going to be officiating, I don't even know who's announced yet. I don't give a crap right now. But they have to know that there's an element of revenge, of tension, of that intangible, that I don't know what, that you can't wrap your arms around.
A little retaliation.
But it's there. It's there. Well, I didn't want to say that, but you know.
No, but you know what? If it's obvious to everybody, the Carolina players are going to be feeling it too. So let's hope that they clam up and kind of have their, oh shit, you know, you got Wilson who has done well this series in retaining his fighting urges, let's just put it that way. He's playing smarter hockey. I'm still not happy that he hasn't done more, but that's for another time. There's still games to play. I still have faith in 43 and 13 and 3. But anyways, but I think that those players have to know coming into DC how loud our stadium got to be, a hell of a lot louder than Carolina, even though they sold out last night, because you got your, you know, bandwagon fans there. The people in DC are your true rock the red, unleash the fury, you know, loving everything, supporting this team for so much longer. So the team knows that the Caps know that the fans are behind them. The Canes should be nervous and they should be kind of looking over their shoulder a little bit more on who's going to come after them for a possible retaliation.
Right. No, that's the point I'm trying to make. If,
okay.
take the, I would say take, if you're the Capitals, take your cue from how the game is officiated. If they call all the ticky-tack stuff within the first 5-10 minutes, then okay, maybe you don't want to take too many liberties. Maybe you don't want to play on the edge too much. But don't shy away from an opportunity to take the body to whoever's got the puck, for sure. And, of course, make it legal. So I would say that more than anything, they have to do. Because right now, instead of us throwing them off their rhythm, it's the other way around. And true. The only way, I think the only way, or one of the key ways to get it back, is to reverse that, reverse the physicality, reverse that trend, reverse that part of the game, and they'll get that edge back and make Carolina afraid to keep up that part of the game. So I think that's something they ought to do. And that's going to be the final item to look for going into game 5 tomorrow evening. So, okay. So that all said, we do have a bone of contention between us. And that being the job that the coaching staff is doing as a whole, not just Todd Reirden, but the entire coaching staff is doing as a whole, this series. So, unfortunately, we find ourselves again at odds with that, because you and I had a brief discussion about that, and you were on one side, and I was on another, and that hasn't changed.
Nope.
So we're going to spend the next 5 to 10 minutes or so discussing that. It may not get too friendly. In fact, I can almost guarantee that it won't. So did you want to make your points first, or did you?
Oh no. This is all you. I'm ready. I'm just going to sit back.
All me.
No. This first couple minutes are all you, and I'm just going to sit back and listen.
Okay. Well, all right. I won't say that.
You're wrong. Just kidding. It threw you off your game a little bit.
Yeah. I will not say that Todd Reirden's staff is not being thoroughly outcoached by the Carolina Hurricanes. I will not say that. What I will say is that they are not making all of the adjustments, lineup changes aside, line changes aside, and such. They're not doing everything that they need to do. They're basically, my problem with them is they're not reacting either at all or in the wrong way. This is my big problem with Todd Reirden in general. He just doesn't seem to be that kind of a guy to rally the troops and say, hey, get your Sam Houston Institute of Technology together, get out there and do what I know and everybody knows you all can do. And a la John Tortorella, or I don't know, lot of guys out there. He just doesn't seem to be that guy that is anything of a motivator. And they don't really have anybody like that on their bench. And you know, look, Rod Brind'Amour has said a lot of stupid things in the last 48 hours, for sure. Okay, there's no denying that. But what also can't be denied is the fact that he's got this team playing like, it. Hey, it's us against them. It's us against the world. If we stick together, nobody can stop us. We're in this together. We're going to play for each other. He's got them believing that. I don't get that mentality. I don't get that sense that you know, that's being communicated by the coach. So that's one point. That's one bullet point as far as a complaint I have. Second complaint I have is that it just doesn't seem like they know what they're doing as far as who to put out and when. I'll give you a couple points. The best example I can give, what is Travis Boyd doing out there the last minute of the game? What is a fourth liner doing? They're trying to win the game. They've got their net empty. Now, they're trying to tie the goddamn game and send it to overtime. What is a damn fourth liner that doesn't produce anything in the way of points? What is he doing out there? Unless and he thought, I don't even know if he was supposed to win the faceoff or what it was. But why is he out there, for example? And why is the power play that, for another example, has sucked for a while, why haven't they adjusted that? Everybody knows that that's a key element to playoff hockey. If you can get that extra goal or that extra pressure, even if you don't score, on the other team, you know, why hasn't that been fixed? Why haven't they made any adjustment? Why is it the same? And we were just talking about this, the same five guys all 2 minutes out there, and they think that's going to work. No reaction, no change, no tweaking, no nothing. It gives the optics that they don't know what they're doing. And I think we'd all like to believe that that's not the case, but I'm just not seeing a whole lot of signs that, you know, they're willing to do what it takes to make the adjustment and start getting this team to play like they should. And those are my two main complaints. I could throw in a lot of little ones in there, but I mean, we just don't have time, but I mean, those are the two big ones. So
okay.
I think unfortunately, you know, yes, it's on the players, but I mean, you gotta take the coaching staff to task because they have to be better too. And they haven't been.
Okay. You're done.
What say you?
Oh, passing the mic over. Okay, so here's my first issue with what you just said about how they don't know what they're doing. I think that's complete and total bullshit. Todd Reardon was the assistant coach to Barry Trotz and has been with them since 2016. So he has the experience with the team. And when Trotz left to go to the Islanders and Reardon was going to take over, I know some people were hesitant because he had not been a head coach before, but it's not like he doesn't have coaching experience. Assistant coach for the Pens, you know, he was also a player. There's a lot of things that go, you know, come on. It's not like he doesn't know what he's talking about or what he's doing. So when Reardon took over and everyone in DC was kind of feeling like, okay, this is a good thing. You know, we're sticking with the same team. There's no major changes. There's no reason why we can't go back to back. Exactly. So why would he come in and rock the boat? I put it on the players, not the coach. You want to see changes? No, there shouldn't be these huge drastic changes where all of a sudden you're like, wait, what the fuck's going on here? Little tweaks here and there, of course. But for you to say that you don't think that he is rallying the troops, you don't know what goes on in the locker room. He's not a hothead. He's not a Babcock or a Tortorella who's like, emotions are like they're about to drop and have a heart attack. He remains calm, and that's what players need at that moment. They don't need the stress and the anxiety of their coach about to blow up at them. They need someone who's going to remain calm and say, hey, listen, you know, I've been with you guys for a couple of years. We won the freaking Stanley Cup. And now look at us. For someone to come forward and say that Todd Reardon's not doing it, they're Metro Division leaders. It's not like we went from winning the Stanley Cup and we didn't make it into the playoffs. Fuck, we won our division. So that, you know, to say that the coaches don't know what they're doing, no, I can't. And you and I have talked about this before. Nothing pisses me off more than when people start throwing the coach under the bus because they don't think that the coach knows what they're doing. Bullshit. I feel like it's like 90-10. 90% is on the players, 10% it's on the coaching. There's no way you're going to convince me otherwise. Nope. And I don't know. When you say there's no reaction, I don't think there should be. I don't want the hothead but on the bench. I don't. Is there the adjustments? No. Like, this is what, you know, if he came in and made all these changes, people would be like, well, what are you doing? You know, we need to stick with exactly how we were with the Stanley Cup. Well, no. You know, he did what he could and is doing what he can. And the players need to step the fuck up. I think we haven't seen 100% from the majority of the players. And that's on them. If they want the Stanley Cup so badly, then they need to find it in themselves to come out and give 60 minutes of hockey, which is what we've been saying all season. It's the one thing that the Capitals just can't seem to do. 50 minutes every once in a while. And the shutout the other day, I would say we saw maybe 15. But I put it on them. I put it on them. The only thing I will agree with you on is the power play. I don't think the same players need to be out there for the 2 minutes because they look exhausted. But, you know, it is what it is. This is the sport that they love. This is why they're on this team. And, you know, I think our team always has great chemistry. They just need to get out of this back-to-back cloud that we have overhead. No one's expecting a back-to-back Stanley Cup win. We're just happy we got it last year. And fuck if it happens again this year. Well, fantastic. But you know what? Don't let that be the reason why you're hesitating on the ice or you're not sure about who to pass to or you want to make a fancy pass. No, get your fucking game on, play the 60 minutes and play like you really want the cup as a player. And coaches are not, they just don't need to, they don't need to be the focal point, in my opinion. And now I'm off my soapbox.
Well, okay. So you say they shouldn't be the focal point. They shouldn't be the one to rally the troops necessarily. Okay. Well, look, then why, I mean, when the thing, and I don't want to bring this up because I know this is a lightning rod issue with all of us, but before I get into it, and of course I'm talking about Oshie's injury last night. Look, we all know what happened. We know the end result, sort of. But we all need to move on. I need to say that first. Mm-hmm. But when it happened, don't you want a coach that will have no bones about standing up for his or her players by advocating them at every turn? Now, I'm not saying go out there and say stupid shit like a certain other coach has been saying for a while, but no reaction from Todd Reirden. No,
that's not true.
No arguing the penalty, no advocating for, no yelling at the refs, say, hey, you know, my guy's hurt. Where's the major penalty? Why is this only a 2 minute minor? Why is, you know, he kind of just stood there and didn't react. I didn't see a guy who is supposed to have the backs of his players. I just didn't see it. And this guy just doesn't give that off. I don't want to put it this way, but I don't know if he could motivate an ice cube to melt at 90 degrees. I'm sorry.
All right.
But this guy is just not getting me to believe. And if it's that obvious to somebody like me, then what is going on in that locker room? You know?
I don't know. I mean, I see his post-game interviews. And I've seen him, he was very fired up about.
Look, I'm not saying he doesn't have it in him.
Right.
Okay? I'm saying
you just want to see it during the game. But you know what?
Why aren't we seeing it now when it's most important, when the season is on the line?
Because, I mean, would it really have made a difference?
Well, okay, no. I don't know. I don't know about making a difference, okay? But you want to see everything. Look, he's handling the X's and O's, but there's part of it is getting the guys to believe. And I'm sorry, even if you're not a talker like we are, you got to come up with the words. All right. You got to come up with the words.
But I don't hear it. But any other like coach that you see is like when you're whatever opposing team the Capitals are playing, you see them in their suits, their arms folded, and they're, you know, someone gets a penalty, someone, you know, you've got, like I said, a couple of your hothead coaches, and you, and then even those coaches sometimes understand that there's nothing that they can do. There's nothing that they can challenge at that moment. And they just have to stay, they just have to take it and see their player go to the penalty box or, you know, go to the locker room or whatever it is. You know, it's not like he's a completely, you know, dead inside. I think he's just, you know, taking it on as, hey, listen, if I start reacting and getting all crazy, it's going to cause the players to feel, you know, they want to have a sense of calm. Maybe that's what he's giving them. I don't know. Because who knows, coming in the locker room, we have seen the Capitals come out and look asleep and look like shit in the first period or two and go locker room and come out and bring it home and win the game in the third or whatever it takes. So something's being said. I don't think that he feels like it needs to be some public announcement on the bench. We don't see everything. The cameramen are not on the coaches. You don't know what they're saying to the players at that moment. And the last night's thing with Oshie, that rocked everybody. Every single person who saw it on TV, you know, replay, social media, whatever, it broke your heart. Because that is a player that everyone loves on the team as a leader, but also off the ice. So you lose your leader. And you know what? Here's a coach that's like probably looking at it like, holy fuck, 77, you know, and what, he's not going to blow up. You can't, you want to get him off the ice, seen by a doctor, and you have to remain professional and calm in the situation.
I get that. And yes, I did see the passion and the fire when he was talking about the injury, but what I'm saying is the moment it happened, you know,
you wanted to see more.
You want, yes. I mean, I want to see a guy say, hey, you only gave this jerk 2 minutes for injuring my guy. What the fuck? Why isn't it more? This guy caused an injury. It ought to be a match penalty. What are you guys doing? Okay. And by the way, yes, you're speaking about professional and calm. You know what? The more you agitate the refs, yes, it can have a negative effect, but it can also have a positive effect because, I mean, at any job, you know, somebody nags you enough, you know, there is that saying, there's a reason for it. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know, right. Sooner or later, they're going to get tired of hearing it and then correct it. Right. So if you're
not when it comes to these refs against the Capitals. I mean, we, you know, for the amount of games that we played and the amount of games that have not worked in our favor with bullshit missed calls, come on.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But you
and,
still,
and I will, and honestly, Gil, and I will give you the fact that, yes, I wish Reardon would have fought the 2 minutes yesterday. Maybe there, like the go. Rest of us, he all assumed that the player was not going to just be like, he went to the box and maybe we were waiting for that call. Like, oh, all right, let's get, you know, on the phone call. Let's see if, you know, we're going to get a different call, you know, assess the situation. I think that's what we were waiting for. And it didn't happen. And it fucking sucks. Absolutely. It sucks. So I agree with you on that.
Coach, if you're a coach, your part of your job is to tell the ref, hey, yeah, this fucking sucks.
And maybe he did it, we didn't see it.
Well, I don't know. If we didn't see it, then we didn't see it. But usually we do see that kind of a thing. But and I get somebody that doesn't want to make a show out of that kind of a thing. But come on. You know, you have to be, part of your job as a coach is to advocate for your guys, especially during a game, especially during those heated moments. And I mean, I'm sorry, I just didn't see it. But that's just one point. So you've made me. What is this? I don't know what format we're doing here. The point counterpoint count counterpoint. I guess I'm counterpoint in all this.
As long as you start talking like the count, we'll be fine.
What do you mean? Do you mean if I talk like this, I do not like the way they are coaching?
Like that?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Like that.
Fine, fine. But my other main point is, and it's not just Todd Reirden, okay? It's everybody. And like I said, the other problem I have is tactics, overall tactics. You know, why game, I mean, the first 20 seconds of the game, for crying out loud, they were caught flat-footed and they let in a goal. I mean, does that seem like a prepared team to you?
That's on the players.
I get that, but
there's no way you could put that on Cashman. That is 100% on the players. Not the first time they're having a face-off. It's not the first time that the opposing team has won said face-off. And it's not the first time that our defensive line has not been in front of the goal, in front of Holpe, to assist a situation where the other team is scoring in less than 30 seconds in the first period. So you better believe the coaches are on them about that, but that's on the players to execute what they're supposed to be doing and where they're supposed to be. We're going to have a round two.
It just doesn't seem like they were prepared. And worse was the second goal. You know what caused that second goal?
Go ahead.
A bad line change. Who does the line changes? Who runs that? Who's in charge of that? The players? No. They're told to go on and off the ice by the coaches. So who timed that? Who did a piss poor job in getting the right guys on and off at that critical moment in transition when the puck went floating into their zone? Who did that? Not the players. That's on the coaches.
But if it's one player who's coming off and one going on, where are the remaining four?
That's just it. There was no clear communication by the coaching. Who was supposed to be on? Who was supposed to be off? Now, yeah, once they got out there, yeah, they were too much on the strong side, too much puck watching. You know, nobody covering the weak side where Teravainen streaked in and just, oh, looky what I found, flip. I get that. That part, yeah, that's on the players. But if you don't have the chess pieces in the right place to begin with, how are they going to react properly?
But we're also in the playoffs. This isn't like we're starting a brand new season with a brand new coach. Absolutely not. So you should know where you're supposed to be at all times. That's it. Like, and you heard, like, there was, like I said before, there was a Vrana interview today. And yes, everybody, you know, players and fans were like, oh, fucking hey, you know, oh, she's out. Yeah, but then you have to get the next man up and you have to believe in their skill. As a team, they have to come forward and say, okay, you're here. I'm going to be here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pass it to you this way. That's like that chemistry, that consistency that we've been talking about for two seasons now. And you're in the freaking playoffs. So I don't want to hear any excuses of, oh, the line. No, be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to be doing and step it up, because we're still not seeing 60 minutes of hockey and we're not seeing 100% from every player. Are we sure as hell wouldn't be in a tied series position right now and not seeing more goals from people who were more consistent, the Wilsons and the Vranas. I don't want to throw my number threes under the bus, but you know, they need to step it up. Kuzi, what the hell?
No, I don't I'm not saying for sure that it's the players don't have their part in this, obviously, but maybe if the coaching staff does everything they're supposed to be doing from top to bottom, from one end of the bench to the other, and properly monitoring the game, properly reacting to what goes on, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like they're doing everything necessary. Now, maybe a change in personnel will work, but I want to see a little bit more fire for one, and I want to see a little bit more, you know, much more change in tactics. Okay, everybody, like, for example, okay, a little bit more, a little bit of a change in the forechecking scheme, one man high, you know, bother the other guy, ramp up the physicality, shorter passes in your own zone, little tweaks like that. And, and for the first 5 or 10 minutes last night, it was more of the same. It took them just so long to get a rhythm. And, you know, you got to follow the plan set forth by the coaching staff. It starts with them. And it just kind of, I don't know. I'm getting a feel that there's a lack of direction. And that just needs to stop. And that's, you know, they have to be leaders, whether they feel like they can or not. And I'm just not seeing it. And one suggestion I would make, and I've been vocal about this before, so is Bernie for that matter, is that Todd Reirden, and you're not going to like this, but Todd Reirden take over the running of the D-Core completely. That might be what he has to do if the shit that's happening now is keeping up. So I'll end with that. I know I'm not going to convince you, not going to convince those guys who say, you know, Reardon's doing a great job, the whole staff's doing a great job. Fine, I get that. But that, pardon me, that, I mean, I had to put that out there because it's obvious to me. I don't know if it's obvious to you, the Caps fan, the fellow Caps fan, but that's what I'm seeing. That's the air that I'm getting when I see this team play.
Okay. And we're just going to agree to disagree.
We're going to have to, because neither one of us is going to convince the other, because you've got some valid points. Yes, it's on the players, but I mean, that's only one part of the equation. If you have an equation that's not balanced, it all has to smooth out. It all has to work out. And right now it's not. At least, you know, not in my eyes.
Okay.
And if I'm the only one in Caps fandom that sees that, then, you know, goddamn me, you know, tell me to piss up a rope. I don't care, but that's what I'm seeing.
All right. Well, I think our rant went twice as long as we expected, but
well,
whatever,
you know, I think we had a lot of, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but I think we had a lot of good stuff to put out there. So
agreed.
This was meant to be. Go ahead.
No, I said, look, we're going to end on an agreement.
Yeah, this was meant to be a mini episode, but it's more like a full size episode. Hey, you know, Merry Christmas. We give you more for your money. Not that anybody's paying for this.
Of course. Let's just get start with that. All right, cool. So I'm going to go make dinner on this Good Friday.
So yeah, well, let's end on a unifying note here.
Go Caps.
Anna and I can definitely agree that it was horrible what happened last night to Oshie. It's even more horrible that Department of Player Safety has decided not to react. But what would be worse than that is if we as a fan base wallowed in that and adopted a woe is me mentality and used that as an excuse. And you can't. And no. I'm sure, Anna, you would agree with me.
I'm just going to say I 100% agree with you. The team now has to come together. And if they're going to go out there even harder and faster and more aggressive and on it, they're going to do it tomorrow for themselves, for the Caps, and for frickin' TJ Oshie.
Hell
because
yes.
That's your driven force right there. And you do it for him. because what happened yesterday was absolute bullshit. It was heartbreaking to watch. And the fact that there is no suspension for the players, I won't even say his name because I'm going to get all fired up all over again, is utter bullshit. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Definitely. So it's a 8 o'clock puck drop. And I'll say one last thing here. And that's you as the you fans out there, whether you're sitting on your couch like me watching the game at home, or if you're actually in Capital One, especially if you're in Capital One. Okay. All right. Cheer your lungs out. Okay. I don't want anybody leaving that arena after it's all over whose lungs aren't fucking bleeding. All right.
That's a vision.
Scream till your heart blows up. All right. Do it for the team. Do it for TJ. Do it because you need to drive this team. And I'll say it again. Fanatics, they help win games. Be Caps fanatics. You got to do it. All right. So with that, I think this is a good place to stop. Thanks, Power Play Point podcast fans, for indulging us. For Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off for this bonus episode and reminding you that if you go to the restaurant that's on the moon, the surface of the moon, well, you're in for great food, but no atmosphere. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
I got a workout from that. I'm sweating.